praise God. Let me remind you too of this. Just because I've come to the place now where I'm going to begin to preach the word does not mean that God's finished. It doesn't mean that God's over and that he's done with what he's going to do tonight. So don't you think that if you didn't get what you wanted tonight, don't feel that God's finished. He's not done. I think he's just getting going good. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll read several verses here, beginning at the 47th. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earth, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. All right, this very familiar passage now is discussing the contrast between Adam, the first man that God made, and Jesus, the second Adam, or the second man that God made, the last Adam, the first Adam and the last Adam, or Adam and Jesus. Paul says that the first man, that is Adam, was made out of the dust of the earth, and he was earthy. He was bound to the earth. But the second man did not come out of the earth, but he came from heaven, and he's heavenly. That's Jesus. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such is they also that are heavenly. Now I want you to listen to this 49th verse. And as we, that is you and I, have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. What's he talking about? We were born in the image of Adam, who was made in the image of God. We were earthy when we were born. We were bound to the earth. We were bound to natural things. We were bound to the destiny of Adam. We were bound by his sin. We were bound by his transgression. We were bound by his limitations because we were born with his sin in his image. But Paul says we're not the same anymore. He says that we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, that since we have become new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we shall take on his image. That we will no longer be in the image of Adam, but we will be in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we will no longer be earthy, but we will become heavenly in every respect. That we will be no longer locked in, bound by, or controlled by the things that bound Adam, but we have been loosed so that we will be conformed to the image of a heavenly one who is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now we talked last week, now this begins to happen when a man is born again, when he receives Christ as his Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit comes in. We said today that Jesus promised that when he went away, that he would come again. Now we know that he's going to come again in power and glory, that he's going to come in the flesh, he's going to come riding on a white charger, he's going to bring the army. Now some of you think that he's maybe not coming on a white charger, but the Word of God says he is. I'm looking for him to come on a white charger, just like the Bible says. Some may think that's foolish. He's not going to come that way. But if the Word of God says he's coming on a white horse, that's the way he's coming on a white horse. And the armies of heaven are going to be with him. And he'll have on his side a vesture which will be written on King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But that wasn't what he was talking about on the night of the Last Supper when he said, I go. But in a little while, he said, I will come again. He was talking about the giving of the Holy Spirit, the coming of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what he meant when he said, I will come again. You see me now, in a little while you shall not see me, but in a little while again you will see me again. You'll see me because I'm going to come in the power of the Holy Spirit. When a man is born again, when he invites Jesus Christ to come into his heart, he says, I repent of my sin. I turn away from my old life. I open up the door of my heart. I open it up. Jesus, come on into my life and make me new. Jesus does not come in a flesh and bone form. For we know that Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father. Don't we know that? Stephen saw him. He saw him there. As he was being stoned to death, he looked up into heaven and the Holy Spirit gave him a vision of God. He saw God and he saw Jesus of Nazareth standing beside the throne of God in all of his glory. Now Jesus in his flesh is in heaven. There's a flesh and bone man in heaven. Jesus of Nazareth. He's seated beside the right hand of God the Father. That's where he is. When you invite Jesus to come into his heart, it's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who comes into your heart and does that work on the inside of you. It's the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, who comes inside. He is the one, as we discussed last week, that begins to do the conforming work to conform us to the image of Jesus. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to make us over so that we're no longer earthy, that we become heavenly because of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to make us like Jesus. That's His ministry. That's His ministry, to make you and me like Jesus. Now some would say, how could any man or any woman ever be like Jesus? If it was impossible, God's wasting his time. If it was impossible, God has sent his Holy Spirit to do an impossible task. Now, I want you to know that God is not fooling around. God is not wasting his time, and he has not sent his Holy Spirit to do an impossible task. He sent his Holy Spirit to do a possible task, to conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to look like him, act like him, talk like him, think like he did and does, and do the works of Jesus. That's his desire. Now, I want us to see tonight what the Holy Spirit did in the life of Jesus. And if we can see that, I think we can begin to see maybe a little clearer what he's trying to do in our own lives. The Word of God says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, that Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his footsteps. In the 15th chapter of the book of John, Jesus said these words after he had washed the feet of his, or 17th, in thir- I'm sorry, it's the 13th chapter, where he had washed the feet of his disciples. He said, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. Jesus is God's example. He's more than that, of course, but he's God's example to us as to what we are supposed to become. Now, how did Jesus become like that? Was he born like that? No, he wasn't born like that. Jesus was not born complete, mature, full grown. For the word says in Hebrews 5, verse 8, though he were a son, though he were the Holy Son of God, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And verse 9 says this, and being made perfect, being made full grown, being made mature. He wasn't born mature, he was born a baby, just like you were, and just like I was. But what is the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of Christ? First of all, let's look at the Gospel of Luke. First chapter. We looked at this verse this morning with a little different slant. Luke 1:35, the Annunciation of the Angel to the Virgin Mary. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Jesus was begotten or born of the Holy Spirit. He was begotten of the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Holy Spirit. And isn't that what he said that we must be also? He said in the third chapter of John that unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is in the new birth, that we be begotten or born of the Spirit in the same way Jesus was. He was born or begotten of the Spirit. That's God's purpose for you also and for me, to be born of the Spirit. Now, if we don't get born of the Spirit, nothing else ever matters. In the same way it wouldn't have mattered in Jesus' life if he had not been born of the Spirit into this world. Nothing else would have ever mattered. The same as it is with you and with me, that unless we are born of the Spirit into the kingdom of God, nothing else will ever matter for us. The Word of God also says that Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit. In the first chapter of the book of John, in the 32nd and 33rd verse, and John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Have you ever wondered why, even though Jesus was born of the Spirit, that there is no record that he ever did or attempted to do any miraculous work, any preaching, before he was filled with the Spirit? The Word of God only gives three verses about the life of Christ, from the time he returned from Egypt as a baby and the time that he was 30 years old when John baptized him in the river and the Holy Spirit came upon him in the bodily shape of a dove. It says that one day when he was 12, he was found confounding the teachers in the synagogue. It says in Luke, I believe it's the third chapter, twice, that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, and that he grew and waxed strong in spirit. That's all we know about him all those years. That's all we know. But all of a sudden, one day, he came to John the Baptist, who was baptizing in the River Jordan. And he says, I want you to baptize me. And John said, no, Master, it's not that I should baptize you. You should baptize me. And Jesus said, no, but we must fulfill all righteousness. Baptize me. John took him into the water and baptized him. And when he came out of the water, God's Holy Spirit came upon him in the bodily form of a dove. He was filled with the Holy Spirit from that moment on. And God opened up heaven and spoke to him and to the world and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus had been born of the Spirit, but he was not able to do the works that God had promised that he should do until he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit in you and in me is not only to birth you into the kingdom, but is also to baptize you into the power. To birth you into the kingdom and to baptize you into service. To fill you with the power to serve him as he did the Lord Jesus. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Then the Word of God tells us about the Lord Jesus something very interesting in the fourth chapter of the book of Luke, the first verse. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Did you know that it's the purpose of God in giving his Holy Spirit that you and I might be led by the Spirit? God wants to lead you every minute of every day. He doesn't want you going your own way. He wants to lead you by the Holy Spirit in the same way that he led Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said in the 14th chapter of John, he said, I do nothing of myself, but the works that I see my Father doing, that I also do. He said, in essence, I don't do anything except what the Spirit of my Father tells me to do. I am led by the Spirit. Romans, the 8th chapter, the 14th verse says this concerning you and me. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. One of the things that we all need as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to learn how to do is to be led by the Holy Spirit. How many of you know that that's what God's plan is for you, to lead you minute by minute, day by day? God wants to guide and direct everything you do. He wants to tell you what to fix for dinner. He wants to tell you when to go to the grocery store. He wants to tell you whether to change jobs. He wants to tell you what kind of a car to buy. He wants to tell you how to spend the money that He's entrusted in your care. He wants to instruct you as to how to discipline your children. He wants to give you guidance as to what to permit your children to do. He wants to give you understanding and guidance and leadership in the affairs of this life, in your business affairs, in your family affairs, and in your affairs at home. Lois and I were having a bit of difficulty with one of our sons. And a little bit of rebellion creeping in there. And I've always been one to come down real hard on anything like that. Still am. But God has shown me that there's a time to loose and there's a time to grab tight. There's a time to let free and there's a time to jerk. He spoke to me one day as I prayed about this one son. And I asked him, I said, Father, I don't know what to do. And he said, every time you have a difficulty, you pray first. For he said, I know when to loose the string and when to jerk it tight. He said, I know what the effect is on your son. And if you will listen to me, I'll show you how to deal with him. Now, praise God, he knows how to deal with teenage boys. He knows also how to deal with teenage girls. He knows how to deal with little boys and little girls. He knows how to deal with wives and husbands. He knows how to deal with mothers and fathers. But if we'll not be led of the Spirit, then we will never have the fullness of what God is trying to give us in our life. Jesus was a man who was led of the Spirit. God has given His Holy Spirit to you also that He might lead you by the Spirit. So He wants to, first of all, birth you into the kingdom of God by the Holy Spirit. Then He wants to fill you with the power of His Holy Spirit. Then He wants to lead you minute by minute in all of your decisions by the Holy Ghost. He spoke to us here a few minutes ago, and He said He was the great shepherd. He said He was the great shepherd. Isn't that what the Lord said here a few minutes ago? One of you down in here? He said He was the great shepherd. We are the sheep of God. He's our shepherd. He tells us where to go. He tells us where the green pastures are. He leads us beside the still waters. He gives us the good nourishing food. He gives us the refreshing when we need it. We don't tell Him what to do. He tells us we're to be led of the Spirit. While we're there in the fourth chapter, let's look at a fourth aspect of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus. Verse 18. Jesus read these words out of the book of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. In the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, the 38th verse, Peter said these words to Cornelius and the men that were at Cornelius' house. He said how God had anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. The work of the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus was to anoint Him with His ministry. That is also the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and my life, is to anoint you and to anoint me for ministry in the kingdom of God. any anointing apart from that which is given by the Holy Spirit is not worth the piece of paper that it is written on. If your anointing in the kingdom of God has come from men, it isn't worth a thing. But if the anointing that is on your life has come from the Holy Spirit, then God will use you in a mighty and a wonderful way as you yield to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life, because it's His anointing. And it's the anointing of God that breaks the yokes. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to anoint for service as He anointed Jesus. Now in the Gospel of Matthew, the 12th chapter. Jesus had just cast a demon out of a man that was possessed. He was blind and he was dumb. The Word of God says that he was demonized. Jesus cast the demon out of him and healed him. And as he did so, the Pharisees, when they heard of it, began to accuse him. And began to say that he was a prince of devils and that he did it by the power of Satan. But Jesus said in verse 28, "If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you." The power that was in the life of Jesus came from the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to listen to this carefully. Jesus came as the Holy Son of a holy God. He had, when he was in glory with the Father, all power, all authority, and all might. But when Jesus came to this earth, he did not minister as the Son of God with the power that he had when he was in heaven. Some of us have said Jesus could do anything because he is the Son of God. But Jesus did not do his works because he was the Son of God. He did his works because he was filled with the Spirit of God. As you read the Gospels, you wonder how many times Jesus said, how he referred to himself. He didn't call himself the Son of God. He said the Son of Man. He identified himself with you and with me. He said, "I am the Son of Man." When Jesus came to this earth, he laid aside all his power. He laid aside all of his glory. He stripped himself and emptied himself of that which he had right to as the Son of God. Now, how do I know that? Because the Bible says he did. In Philippians, the 2nd chapter. And for anyone that this may be new to, I want you to see it. I want you to make special note of it so that you understand. Verse number 5 of chapter 2 of the book of Philippians. Paul said these words, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God." He is God. He is not only equal to God, he is God. But look at what he did. "But made of himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Literally, that 7th verse says this: he emptied himself. He made of himself no reputation. He emptied himself. He stripped himself of the power that he had, and he came in the form of a tiny baby without power, without the ability to do the works of God. That's why he could say, "I don't do anything of myself, but what I see the Father doing, that I also do. It's the Father that worketh in me that does these works. I don't do any of this by myself. It's the Father that's in me by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that doeth the works. If you believe not me, at least believe for the work's sake." That's what he meant. He said, "I'm not some God that jumped down here and jumped into a body to manifest myself for a few years." He said, "I became a man just like you. I'm not a supernatural being that's here walking the earth around for 33 years. I became a man, flesh and blood and bone, just like you are, without sin, but in every other respect, just like you. The Bible says he became as we are in all things. David Engel sings the song, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And he sings these words, he became weak as we are, or he became weak that we might be strong. He became as we are that we might be as he is. Isn't that the way it goes? He became as we are that we might be as he is. He did his work under the power of the Spirit, not under the power of the Son of God, but under the power of the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Spirit of God in Jesus that enabled him to do the works that he did. He was empowered by the Spirit of God. Otherwise, he would not have said here, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. He would have said, I cast out devils by my own power. But he never said that. He never said that. As a matter of fact, he said, I can't do anything by myself. I can't do anything. It's the Father in me. It's the Spirit of my Father in me that causes these works to be done. The Holy Spirit empowered Jesus to do the things that he did. And the same Holy Spirit empowers believers today to do those same works. Now, what happened to the Lord Jesus? He was born of the Spirit. He was baptized in the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. He was anointed for service by the Spirit. He was empowered by the Spirit. He did the works that he did because of the enabling that was given unto him by the Holy Spirit of God. And he was the first man ever so endowed. The Holy Spirit had been upon many men in the Old Testament, but the Holy Spirit had never indwelt a man in the same way that he did the Lord Jesus Christ. We talk today about the body being the temple of the Holy Spirit. It is a Holy Spirit, and it will not dwell in an unholy place. It wasn't until people were born again. It wasn't until Jesus came. He was the first man without sin. He was the first man in whose body the Holy Spirit could dwell. And those that followed after him by way of the new birth, having their sins forgiven, can also be indwelt by the Holy Spirit in the same way. After Jesus had ministered for 3.5 years, he was crucified by wicked unbelievers, he was buried, and he was raised from the dead. Do you know how he was raised from the dead? Do you know by what power he was raised out of the grave? Do you know by what power he came out of Satan's clutches and out of the clutches of the grave and death? It was by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 is the verse that we sing about. We sing, if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he will quicken your mortal bodies. You know that song we sing? But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. It was the Holy Spirit that caused the body of Jesus Christ to come back to life again. It was the Spirit of Almighty God, the Holy Spirit of God, that caused Jesus to be raised from the dead. And it's the same Holy Spirit that will cause you and I to be raised from the dead. It's the same Holy Spirit that will cause your mortal body, once dead, to be quickened, to be brought back to life, the corruptible to take on incorruption. The work of the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus, there are many more things that we could look at, but I think this will give you the picture. The way that the Holy Ghost worked in the life of Jesus is the same way that he wants to work in your life and in my life. First of all, he wants you to be born again. He wants you to be birthed into the kingdom through the new birth. If that's all the further that you have gone, if all you've received is the new birth, You have only a small, it's wonderful, wonderful, and it's the most important thing that'll ever happen to you, but you have stopped with just a little bit of what God wants to give you by the Holy Spirit. God has so much more He wants to give. So much more. So much more. He wants to baptize you in that same Holy Spirit. He wants to fill your life with the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want you to take a sip. He wants to dump it all over you. He doesn't want you to be blessed just a little bit. He wants you to be wallowing around in it. He doesn't want His peace to just touch you gently. He wants it to flow over you and encompass you and envelop you. He doesn't want you just to smile. He wants you to laugh. He wants you to rejoice. He wants you to wallow in that joy. He doesn't want you just to a little bit like this. He wants you dancing in the Lord. Hallelujah. See? God's got more, more, more for you. And if you've only been birthed into the kingdom, you got this much. But the package, friends, is that big. See? Bigger than I can reach. He wants to lead you by the Spirit every minute of every day. He wants to anoint you for service. He wants to empower you to do miraculous and wonderful works, things that the world has never seen. And He wants to raise you from the grave. Hallelujah. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Now I want to say this to you concerning the coming of the Holy Spirit. And this just blessed me so. This is Pentecost Sunday. This is the day that the Holy Spirit flowed out and was made available to every man and every woman who would partake. It came 10 days after Jesus ascended into heaven. After the resurrection, Jesus was on the earth 40 days. He ascended into heaven, into a cloud. 10 days later, the people of God, 120 of them, men and women, were gathered together in Jerusalem as He'd instructed them. And the Holy Spirit came. When He came that day, 120 of them heard the sound like a mighty rushing wind. There were tongues of fire upon each of their heads. And God supernaturally filled them with the Holy Spirit. And as they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they all began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the words. With that mighty, miraculous demonstration, the age of the Holy Ghost was ushered in. Now, just the fact that the Holy Spirit is here tells me something about where Jesus is and what He really did. How many of you in here have never seen Jesus personally? How many, listen to me carefully now. How many of you have never seen Jesus physically? Never seen Him physically. Okay. How do you know that He's real? How do you know it? Maybe it's just a farce. Maybe it's a joke. Maybe it's the best planned deception that ever took place. Jesus said these words in John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. In other words, if I go where I said I'm going to go, He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again. And here he said, if I go, I will come again unto you. If I depart, I will send him unto you. If the Holy Ghost has come, what does that mean about where Jesus is? He is in heaven. He's in glory. He's building mansions for us there. He really and truly is at the right hand of God the Father. He really and truly is there. How do I know he's there? Because his Spirit has been sent, and he said his Spirit would not be sent unless he went. And since the Spirit did come, that means he did went. And since the Spirit is here, it means he is there. That's my guarantee. That's my insurance. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of me. He's as real as I am. He's as real as you are. And because he's inside of me, that means that Jesus Christ was the victor over the death. He was the victor over the grave. He beat the devil at his own game. He bound up the devil. He took the keys of hell and death, and he took them to glory with him, and he's there right now at the right hand of God the Father. His Spirit is here, and now I know it. I know it. I know it. I can be sure of it. Why? Because his Holy Spirit is inside me. See, he's here, and he wouldn't be here if Jesus was. If Jesus was still in the grave, you see, there'd be no Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost didn't come until Jesus went. And because the Holy Spirit is here, that is proof positive, you see, that Jesus did what he said he was going to do. Amen? Amen. 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 Yes, it's true. It's written here, and it's good, and I believe it. But it's more than that. I know it. I know it. I know it. I know it. Because his Spirit lives in me. And if his Spirit lives in you, then you know also that Jesus did what he said he was going to do. Praise God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for sending your Spirit as the earnest of our inheritance, as the assurance that you did accomplish all righteousness, as the assurance that you did accomplish that which you said you would do. You told your disciples that you were telling them these things in advance so that after it happened, that they would believe. Peter knew what happened after the Holy Ghost came. He knew what happened. And he declared that God had exalted you, and that from the right hand of God that you had sent the Holy Spirit that you had declared you would. He knew right away where you were, because you fulfilled your promise. You did win victory over death. You did win victory over the grave. You did defeat the forces of the enemy for us. You did put to naught the works of the devil. You did spoil principalities and made a public show and an open example and a laughingstock of him. You in fact did everything you said that you were going to do. We have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside us to give us that assurance. We know that we've been birthed by him into your kingdom. We know that we've been baptized in him in all of his fullness for power. We know that we're being led by him minute by minute, for you said that the steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord, and that a righteous man has the law of his God in his heart, and that none of his steps shall slide. For you said, as many as there are the sons of God, they'll be led by the Spirit, guided and directed by him. We know that you've anointed by your Holy Spirit for service, that you've anointed to office in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you have empowered to combat the works of the devil here on the earth, combat the forces of his world here among us, the same way you did when you were here. We have the assurance, since all of these things are fact, that should you delay in your coming, and should we go the way of earthy things and go into the grave, that same Spirit that raised you from the dead, since he dwelleth in us, will also bring back to life our mortal bodies. Raised from incorrupt, from corruptible to incorruptible, from mortal to immortal, that we might reign and rule with you forever and ever and ever and ever. How we praise you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done. How we magnify your mighty name for your faithfulness, for the trustworthiness of your word. How we praise you. How we praise you. How we praise you. How we praise you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I said a moment ago that the Holy Spirit of God was here to minister to you and to me. God was here by power in his fullness with his Spirit. And he invites you now through the lips of this his servant to open your life and to receive from him whatever it is that is in the package that we discussed tonight that you have not yet received. If you've not yet been birthed into the kingdom of God, if you've not experienced the new birth, to know for sure that Jesus is your Savior, he invites you to be born of the Spirit tonight. To open the door of your heart to Jesus and invite him to come in. The Holy Spirit will come in crying, Abba, Father. Give you a new father and to give you a new family. If you've been born of the Spirit, but you haven't been baptized in the Spirit, if you've not been touched the second time with the Spirit of God for power, he invites you tonight to open your life and by faith be baptized in his Holy Spirit. Receive the fullness of that which has been poured out for you and I. Don't be satisfied with a small portion when God has set a great table full of many delights and many delicacies. Don't be satisfied with bread and water. Take of the fullness of his Spirit. If you feel that there's a lack in your life in terms of being open to the Spirit's leading, that he may not be able to lead you as carefully and as directly as you want him to, you may want to just be open to that tonight and ask him to do a work, a new work in you. If you feel that God has been calling you for service in the church, in his kingdom, in his work, and you desire for a fuller anointing, a release of the power that's in you for service, then be open to him tonight for that. Thank you. Yes, thank you, Father. 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 All right, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if what I have just said, any of those needs are the ones that you have on your heart tonight, I invite you to come now. Just get up out of your seat where you are. And just come forward and just stand here around the platform. Come now. If you need to be born again, if you want to be baptized in the Spirit, if you want to be more open to the leading of the Holy Spirit, or if you desire a stronger and more complete anointing in your life, come now. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.